Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel for this day from Luke chapter 13. I read for you again these words. Now there were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. The news is full of violent, destructive events and tragedies, such as a shooting, a mass murder, or massive storm damage or death. In many cases, opinions and comments from various high-profile people, celebrities, and influential public figures are often sought. In today's gospel reading, some people ask Jesus for his views on the great tragedy that had taken place, the murder of some Galileans at the temple in Jerusalem. They'd been killed by Pilate's soldiers. "So, Jesus, what's your take on this terrible tragedy? You're a Galilean yourself. You must have some comment." He does. But it's not what the people who ask him were expecting. In fact, his answer is not what we would expect. But before we get there, let's set the scene. Apparently, some Jews from the region of Galilee had gone to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple. Nothing unusual about that. Happens all the time. But on this occasion, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, sent in his soldiers to the temple grounds, and they killed some of those Galileans, shedding their blood. A terrible mass murder. And we're not told why Pilate did this, just that he did. So some people tell Jesus about it. But the first thing that Jesus says in answer tells us something about the people asking him the question. He says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" Now, that may strike us as somewhat odd. The people asking Jesus the question apparently thought the victims of this mass murder somehow must have been worse sinners because they suffered such an awful fate. In other words, if this sort of a bad thing happened to them, it must be because they were especially bad people. Now, this was certainly a common viewpoint at that time. Think of Job's friends who thought that Job must have done something really, really bad for him to be suffering like he was. Or, think of the man born blind. Jesus' own disciples asked him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was afflicted with this blindness?" The thought was that bad things happen to bad people. But Jesus corrects their faulty thinking. No, I tell you, he says, those Galileans who were killed, it was not because they were worse sinners. So Jesus doesn't buy into that idea that because people die in a particularly violent or tragic way, that therefore they must have deserved it. That they were worse sinners than those who didn't die in such a way. It's somewhat similar to those who years ago said that New Orleans deserved such destruction by hurricane because it was such a sinful city. But Jesus also is not saying that because people are innocent victims of terrible tragedies, that therefore they must be automatically in heaven, that they must have been pure and innocent before God. No, Jesus does not say that either. And yet, that's the notion that's most prevalent in our day. I'll give you a couple examples. A long time ago, when the space shuttle Challenger exploded shortly after takeoff, it was said by a famous person that the astronauts were in heaven because they died in service to their country. Another example, after 9/11, Oprah Winfrey declared, "You know, I believe that when you lose a loved one, you gain an angel whose name you know." And she assured the crowd at Yankee Stadium that all of the thousands of victims were now, to use her words, angels added to the spiritual roster. But it's not true. Being an innocent victim of a terrible tragedy does not give you an automatic ticket to heaven. That's nothing but false hope. And we hear similar things after a school shooting. And yet, that's the prevailing attitude in America today, that innocent victims of evil and violence, innocent victims of disasters and catastrophes, innocent victims of terrible tragedies, they are all automatically in heaven, automatically with God, whatever you conceive God to be. But that's called universalism, and it's a false teaching. And while that is the heresy of our day, the Aaron Jesus day was to presume that victims of tragedies must have had it coming, that they must have been worse sinners than the rest of us. And to that, Jesus speaks an emphatic no. But then, Jesus adds something surprising. He says, "But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Wait a minute. Where did that come from? What's he talking about? Well, and then he adds another example of his own. Or those 18 on whom the Tyre in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? Well, you can predict Jesus' answer to that. No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's the theme today. And in fact, that's the theme for every day. And still, this repent or perish doesn't sound like something we might expect a mild, gentle Jesus to say in the wake of these terrible tragedies. Repent or perish? That's not what we want to hear. But it's also not like Jesus is being cold and heartless. Instead, it's just the opposite. Jesus here is giving a wake-up call, which is actually a good thing. Jesus is taking these examples of sudden, unexpected death, and he's using them to call our attention to matters of our own life and death. You, are you ready for death? These examples should tell you that death could come at any time. The suddenness and nearness of death, which could strike unexpectedly, this should be a wake-up call for all of us. Don't get caught up in whether those people killed in this or that tragedy were worse sinners, or conversely, that they all must now be angels in heaven. That's not what Jesus is driving at. He's stressing the urgency of our own repentance. He's warning us that there is judgment coming, something worse than being cut down by Pilate's soldiers or having a tower fall on you. Are you ready for that? If not, you will perish. Now, the fact that Jesus is telling us this, that he's alerting us to our need and calling us to repentance, is a great blessing. It's part of his grace that he does so. We need to know that we need help, that we need rescuing. And Jesus is just the man to do that rescuing. That's why he came. That's why he continues to come to us and call us to repentance and faith, so that we might be saved and not perish. For God's will is to save. You heard it in Ezekiel. As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. In 2 Peter it says, the Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God does not want you to perish. God does not want you to be lost forever. Most assuredly, God wants you to have eternal life. And this life is in his Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the slaughter at the temple mentioned in our text, Pontius Pilate mingled the blood of the Galileans with that of their sacrifices. But there was one more Galilean whose blood Pilate would shed, and that would be this man, Jesus of Nazareth. His blood, Christ's blood, is the sacrifice. It's the one supreme sacrifice to end all sacrifices. For his is the blood of the Holy Son of God, shed on our behalf, that cleanses us from all sin. His blood has universal effectiveness. It covers the sins of the whole world. And now, God is calling us and all men everywhere to repent and believe in Christ. Trust in him alone, not in any gods of your own making. Christ alone is your righteousness, your salvation, your one and only reliable ticket to heaven. In him, through faith in him, you do have everlasting life. You can count on Him. Thank God that He does call us to repent and to put our trust in Christ so that we will not perish, but instead will be saved. Christ Jesus is our one and only hope in the midst of all tragedy and loss. Christ Jesus is our one sure and lasting comfort, who will carry us through this veil of tears and bring us to Himself. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes and give us a joy that lasts forever. All thanks, glory, and praise be to Him, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.